This is the Anxiety Sessions with Natalie Liu for Baggage Reclaim. You're listening to Session 7 of 7. This final session is all about supporting your body to recognize and recover from anxiety, but also to contribute to healing accumulated stress and trauma in the body. Stress is part of the human experience, and our bodies send signals to alert us that we are stressed. But what if, one, we don't know when we are? Or two, it seems like our body is freaking out over everything, or that we seem to get tipped over the edge what feels very quickly or without warrant. A simple explanation from my acupuncturist Silvio really helped me to have more self-compassion and to learn from my stress responses. Each of us starts out with a baseline level of stress that the human body can tolerate. From the moment of conception, though, this has the potential to be altered. Let's say that we go through a prolonged period of stress as a child. Our body acclimatizes to that level and a new normal is established. This then means that when we think we are okay or not stressed, we are. If we continue to operate at or exceed this level, we lose touch with our body's physiological responses and messages and build up lots of the stress hormone cortisol in the body, which has a profound impact on what we experience physically in our body, including illness. So much clicked into place for me on hearing this. So now, let's apply this to why anxiety starts to snake its way through our life. By living in a way that ignores our needs, expectations, desires, feelings, and opinions, for example, by pushing us too hard, being very self-critical, accepting crumbs, overriding boundaries, being over-responsible, people-pleasing, etc., we will find that we increasingly feel as if we get tipped over the edge, or that it's getting harder to recover from events or to feel in control of our body. We might even find that the stuff we want and enjoy seems to trigger stress or not be as enjoyable. If, however, following the high stress period, those stress factors went and we consistently had experiences, support, and basically soothing contributions, our nervous system will have calmed down somewhat, because that consistency would eventually communicate that we didn't have to be on high alert. Something I see a lot of people do is look for the bad stuff in their life to explain how they're feeling. While undoubtedly painful and traumatic events, whether in child or adulthood, can have a profound impact on our emotional responses, just as many people struggle with anxiety and their feelings who consider themselves to have had good, uneventful, great lives with loving parents or parents who are still together. They often feel confused about why they're going through what they are, and they keep trying to uncover the great mystery. Self-esteem is the sum of the thoughts that you feed you and the way that you treat you. And so ultimately, how you're living your life, even if for all intents and purposes it's great on paper, might be putting your body into stress in some areas. If, over time, as humans, we learn how to self-soothe, recognize and nurture our bandwidth, create healthy boundaries, and be, do, and have relationships and things that allow us to be more us so that we break old patterns that don't serve us, we learn to regulate, manage, and respond to our emotions, including anxiety. We become more conscious, aware, and present. So where do we begin? Respect your bandwidth. I've mentioned a couple of times in these sessions about how we can't just pile us up with impact. We can't just accrue emotional baggage, including pain, fear, and guilt, and not experience the toll. There's no point in saying, I should, or other people, because you will disrespect you. And that's precisely when anxiety starts to build as a means of ringing the alarm on what isn't working. People who value themselves know that they need to say no when they need, want to, or should, so that they can say yes when they need, want to, or should. Respect your time, energy, effort, and emotions, and you will have emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. When you say yes to everyone, even to stuff that leaves you feeling crappy or that robs you of the ability to meet your needs and take care of you, you are not respecting your bandwidth. It doesn't matter if Joe, Bessie, and Fanny can party 6 days a week, manage on 3 hours sleep, volunteer at this and that, and whatever else. If you can't, you can't. You're also looking at their life from the outside, and you don't know how their choices are impacting them. Respect your bandwidth by learning where you become overwhelmed and anxious. That doesn't mean that your body is failing. Your body is giving clues about the sum total of what's going on in your life, about where you've spent your attention and where you need to shift it. Get to know you and your life and stop holding you to impossible standards and ignoring messages from your body. If, for instance, I know that I have a couple of events to go to, I keep my days as chill as possible. After paying attention to the rhythms of my body and life, I realize that I need a few early nights a week. Sure, it's not rock and roll, but I love it. The knock-on effect on everything has been profound. And since I started doing this, I don't get so anxious about my schedule. Use your sense of your bandwidth as a signal to say no when you need, should, or want to, so that you have the space and energy to say yes authentically. There's something called the spoon theory by Christine Misurandino. And if you have a disability or chronic illness, or just struggle to know your boundaries and bandwidth, please look this up. The premise of the spoon theory is that we only have a certain number of spoons each day. And depending on our circumstances, we might have fewer spoons than, say, someone who is not unwell or who has more free time or who just basically isn't us. The spoons are a visual representation of how much energy a person has. If we run out of spoons, we need to rest until we replenish. Sure, we can borrow spoons from the following day, but that might lead to more problems. Acknowledging, for instance, that you have 10 spoons today can help you to spot the potential for stress and anxiety, or to, yes, belatedly recognize the source of it. Give your body what it needs. You would be surprised how many people do things as a result of being hungry, tired, lonely, or stressed about something else. Getting into good sleep habits, eating regular meals, low alcohol in stressy times, getting outdoors, a bit of exercise, doing something pleasurable and relaxing, and allowing some positive connection can have a profound impact on how you deal with the day to day. Know your anxiety symptoms and triggers. Make a list of what is likely to set you off and how you know that you're anxious. For instance, up until a few years back, I tended to eat lots of chocolate when I was feeling stressed and anxious. Sometimes it would take noticing that I was suddenly mainline in chocolate to be like, ah, something's up. My husband tends to mainline crackers, cheese, and sugary treats when he is stressed, and I use that as my cue to check in with him about what's going on with work. Don't shame you about your symptoms and triggers, and don't over-rationalize them. They are what they are, and you've traveled a journey to this point. You're only human. Pay attention to whether there are themes and also note their severity in terms of how you feel and impact, say on a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 being the most. Whenever you experience any of these are a cue, an alert for you to get grounded and figure out what you need. This leads neatly to articulate and honor what you need. Accept that some of the sources of anxiety mean that you require certain things of others or in particular situations so that you meet your needs and don't put you through an unnecessarily difficult time. I know, for example, that based on what were traumatic work experiences, when I work on a project with a company, I need things to be unambiguous with clear and consistent communication rather than unexpected long gaps or mismatched actions and words. This means that I need to work with people who reflect this, and when they don't, I need to take care of my side of the street and articulate what's needed. This is critical. There can be a danger, especially when you are aware that you can be anxious at times, to fall into the trap of too much introspection and self-management. Yes, you heard right. You will know if you're affected by this if you tend to struggle to ask for help, you try to appear strong all the time, or you tend to clamp your feelings and use self-reflection to solve problems on your own or on your own schedule. This is all well and good if you actually end up moving on from the anxiety and you have connected, intimate, and honest relationships. But it is not so great when you're inadvertently avoiding taking the action of articulating and honoring what you need. Don't confuse taking responsibility for your well-being and being more self-aware as shorthand for taking action means dealing with it all myself. Yes, you cannot control the uncontrollable And no, speaking up doesn't mean that everything will go exactly as you want it to. But you will not break the cycle if you don't also take steps to align yourself with people, things, activities, and situations that allow you to feel good and be you. The answer isn't to avoid everything that makes you anxious or to try and rationalize you into being okay day after day, week after week, when it's apparent that clearly you are not okay with whatever it is. Articulate and honor your needs verbally and through your actions and choices. Try acknowledging your anxiety in the third person. For example, Natalie is feeling anxious because she saw Devon looking at his phone. Allows you to observe. And because it's in the third person, it feels less personal and triggering. When you notice that you're, for example, engaging in something you recognize as people-pleasing, go into observational mode so that you can acknowledge what you're anxious about. Go through the I am anxious list in the accompanying guide and see what resonates. Breathe. Taking deep yoga breaths does wonders for me. I do the belly breaths where my tummy rises up and down with the inhale and exhale, just like it did when I was a baby and we did this naturally. There's also breathing in for 4, holding for 4, and then slowly exhaling for 4 or 8, or breathing in for 4 and then humming out for 4 as you exhale. I often find as well that counting to 10 and back down, or counting from 10 down to 0 in a stressful situation, often centers me. Don't overfeed your worry and anxiety fish. Remember when I mentioned this in the first session? The fish is being overfed at the point where your body is going into an anxious state. For example, one day I spent 30 minutes going down the Google rabbit hole after discovering that someone I used to know had done something I really wanted to. After half an hour, I paused and acknowledged the sensations in my head, stomach, and chest, as well as my racing thoughts. I clicked out of everything straight away, shutting my laptop, and then made myself a cup of tea and focused on doing what I needed to calm my body. As soon as you recognize what you're doing, stop feeding the anxiety with negativity and keep trying, even if at first it seems like you're not going to succeed. Even the act of trying is breaking the pattern. There was a time when you wouldn't even notice when you were feeding you with these thoughts, or when you were being or doing something that triggers or exacerbates anxiety. So this is progress. Think of it as the equivalent of automatically jumping on a train of thought and then riding it to station 25. And then as you become more aware, you gradually get off at earlier stations. Remember, thoughts precede feelings. Sure, you can't help the first habit thought that shows up, but you can intervene after that. Give you the space and grace to get better at this over time. Sometimes you're going to ride the train of thought all the way to station 25. And then maybe it'll be to like station 20 or 15 after that. And then maybe you'll go back up to station 20. And then maybe you'll get off at earlier stops and you keep going. At the end of the day, you're still breaking the cycle. You are still changing your relationship with anxiety. Be careful of labeling as well. There's a big difference between I am anxious and I am an anxious person. The latter infers shame and judgment. Be mindful of what you soothe with. So remember earlier when I mentioned that I used to get on the chocolate? Well, a few years back, I started having upset stomachs after eating it. A muscle testing session with my kinesiologist, that's like acupuncture without needles, revealed that I'd become temporarily intolerant to chocolate. Yes. The thing about our rather clever bodies is that they make associations between things. I had taught my body to associate chocolate with stress. This means that even when I was eating chocolate just because I bloody well felt like it, you know, for pleasure, my body would have received the signal that I'm stressed. Now I have a much more balanced and mindful relationship with chocolate, as I want to be able to enjoy it. If you have something that you tend to soothe anxiety and stress with that you also use in non-anxiety and stress-related situations, check in with you about whether this is an inadvertent trigger. If, for example, you go on dating apps or go into giving overdrive when you are anxious, even when you go on a dating app just because or you are genuinely giving, it will be accompanied by anxiety, which of course will confuse you and potentially set you off. Again, this is where awareness of your symptoms and triggers, as well as talking you through situations with observation, can help you to get grounded and make different decisions. Avoid secrecy. It's like pouring oil on the fire. The fast track to loneliness and shame is isolating you due to feeling as if you can't talk about how you are feeling. Loneliness is what happens when you have lost emotional connection, not just to your loved ones, but also to yourself. You're not sharing your innermost feelings and thoughts. This is why some people experience loneliness even though they're in a loving relationship. They've blocked intimacy by not expressing their innermost feelings and thoughts due to fear of being seen. Yes, there's a vulnerability in admitting that you feel anxious, to the right people, of course, but you feel less alone. When I experience intense anxiety, I know that it's a call for me to express whatever's on my mind. It's not a magic fix, it's not a cure-all, but it is a big step in the right direction. Also, my inner critic can't use the secrecy against me, and neither can yours. Let's talk about false alarms. Anxiety doesn't always mean something terrible is happening. It might be a false alarm. Just because it is, though, that doesn't mean you should ignore your feelings or ignore this feeling. No, I'm not saying jump on the feeling and bathe in it. I'm saying that your attention's being called to something. Let's say that you're anxious that a friend is annoyed with you because she's taken a couple of days to respond to the text. It doesn't mean that your feelings are rubbish or that you're a fool. It means acknowledge why those feelings may have shown up. Maybe it brought up memories of an old friendship, or you were feeling insecure because you were already stressed about something else. Or maybe you're doing online dating and already fatigued by texting with strangers. And then from there, you recognize where you've jumped to a conclusion and give you some reassurance. That way, next time you don't hear back from this person or someone else as quickly as you'd like, you will be able to reassure you and go about your business rather than feeling anxious for 2 days. Or yes, maybe you feel anxious for 1 day or half a day instead. Progress. It's critical to note that if you have consistently ignored you in situations where you've needed to pay attention and have boundaries, until you've built up a consistent habit of listening to you, anxiety will likely be a bit OTT at times, especially in the situations where you've ignored you the most. Be patient with you. Acknowledge why that's happening. Remember, if your body's had to go to extraordinary lengths to get you to, for instance, pay attention, rest, take action, it still thinks it has to do that as it hasn't had enough memos and updates yet. Please be patient with you. You've traveled a journey to this point, and it's too much to expect that one or a few instances of paying attention to you is going to mean that you never experience anxiety again. If you can observe the emergence of these feelings and get curious without being judgmental, you will be able to figure out how to take better care of you. You will be able to figure out what you need to do in that moment. It will get better over time. Please avoid avoidance. If you're aware that sometimes your anxiety and focusing on it is a means of distracting you from something else, note the signs of when you're doing this. Avoidance only makes it worse. It's a vicious cycle because either way, you're reinforcing what you think you can't do and that this is the way to avoid intimacy with yourself and others. Sometimes this means that you're going to be like, I see what you're doing and I hear you, I get you, but you still need to do the thing that you're avoiding. Or, okay, so I see that you're feeling anxious and hiding away. What's really going on here? Yep, it's that observational mode again. Now, it doesn't mean the anxiety will go away immediately, but you are offering you self-care and are open to being more vulnerable and intimate with you in life because you're willing to be more honest and available. Choosing self-compassion as often as possible ultimately changes your relationship with anxiety. By implementing steps that allow you to be present to your anxiety so that you can recognize what it might be saying to you or what you need, you befriend anxiety instead of letting it hold you hostage. I want to reassure you also that you've got this. One day, one step at a time. Thank you for joining me for the Anxiety Sessions, and take care of you.